Hi, Dan Sheridan here with Successful Savior Ministries. This is lesson three of our series, The Plain Guide to Universalism. And in this audio, we're going to talk about how the teaching of the successful Savior was condemned by the church-state system. Now, as we've discussed in previous programs, the doctrine of universalism was the prevailing teaching in the early years of Christianity. It didn't become the subject of controversy until around the late 4th century. In the early 390s, a controversy broke out between followers of Origen and their antagonists. These opponents, however, didn't object to Origen's views regarding the salvation of all mankind, but to his views regarding the ultimate salvation of the devil. So these opponents didn't say a word against the salvation of all mankind. Now, later that same decade, councils were convened to condemn Origen's teaching regarding the salvation of the devil and his angels. But again, they didn't say anything against his teaching regarding the salvation of the human race. So there's a little progression here. First, they objected to his teaching of the salvation of the devil. Then they objected to his teaching of the salvation of the devil and his angels. But this would change. The Fifth General Council, which convened on May 4th, 553, formally condemned the teaching of the salvation of all mankind. The council, in complete accord with imperial power, decreed the following. Whoever says or thinks, let me just stop there for a minute. Whoever says or thinks, now note the arrogance. They were attempting to govern human thought. Who do these ecclesiastical and political powers think they are? To try to govern human thought? Well, that's something to think about. You must be standing on shaky ground if you have to have an imperial edict, if you have to have a council called to condemn what people are thinking. Well, let's read it again. Whoever says or thinks that the torments of the demons and of the impious men are temporary, so that they will at length come to an end, or whoever holds a restoration either of the demons or of the impious, let him be anathema. Now, Origen is not named, but that particular doctrine is singled out and condemned. The doctrine of the salvation of the human race, as well as the doctrine of the salvation of the devil and his angels. Now, I want to make a comment here that's very important. There are many things that Origen and many of the early fathers taught that I think are completely out of touch with Scripture. Now, that's my opinion. See, we all make mistakes. I'm a student of Scripture. I make mistakes. Others have made mistakes. The Fifth General Council condemned some of Origen's other teachings, teachings which I, as a Bible student, again, find way off. But the point is this. These men usurped authority. It's one thing to disagree with someone. It's another to stifle those you disagree with in order to maintain a church-state setup. In the language of Virginia's Statute of Religious Liberty, which was written by Thomas Jefferson, whereas Almighty God hath created the mind free, that all attempts to influence it by temporary punishments or burdens, or by civil incapacitations, tend only to beget habits of hypocrisy and meanness, and are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion, who, being Lord both of mind and body, yet chose not to propagate it by coercions on either. Wow, what great words. Remember this, a ruling church allied with the state, under the influence of selfish human nature, relying on the arm of flesh rather than the nonviolent persuasive power of truth, is always tempted to impose unjust restrictions on dissenting sects. Teachers of a successful Savior, however, never use nor want to use the arm of flesh to support their teaching. The very act itself would nullify our whole doctrine. So, the first 400 years of the Christian era then witnessed no condemnation of the salvation of all mankind. But now that it was condemned by usurped ecclesiastical authority, and imperial authority, I might say, it seems to have become less popular. And no sooner had the teaching of the love of God been abandoned for the evils of eternal torment, that the features of original Christianity were generally lost until the era of the Reformation. People, no longer allowed to think for themselves, were under the iron yoke of ecclesiastical despotism. Now, I personally believe that there were probably many who held this truth and lived accordingly, but they weren't public people. I think God has always had a light, even in the darkest times, but they don't always make the news. And just because we haven't heard of them doesn't mean they aren't there. Remember when Elijah complained? He felt because he had never heard of these other prophets that they probably weren't there. And Elijah had to learn a painful lesson that he wasn't the only one. All right, that's all we have time for. Now, I made a comment earlier that the teaching of the salvation of all kind of went underground until the era of the Reformation. So let me ask you this. What was it about the Renaissance and the Reformation that revived the teaching of the successful Savior? And where did it go from there? Well, we'll talk about that in our next lesson. This is very, very important. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Until we talk again, remember this. Jesus Christ is a successful Savior.